Well, a God morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. I think by this title, we're going to have some new listeners today, because it is an astonishing statement that's being made. But it's astonishing because our God is astonishing. And what we're going to do this morning is the perfect cure for the coronavirus and whatever else. One may be suffering health-wise. The whole myriad of sicknesses, of diseases, of infirmities. Now, we're going to the table of the Lord this morning. So, if you need to, stop this message and get the elements. They are a cup of wine and a piece of broken bread. If you don't have wine, get water. You don't have water, well, you're in trouble. But, you know, something that you can put in a cup. If you don't have bread, get a cracker. Get a whatever. But get the elements ready that we might partake together. So, I said we're going to the table of the Lord this morning. Many call it the communion table. Many call it the Eucharist. And I'd have you know that word that we employ, Eucharist, comes directly from the Greek, and it means to give thanks, to be thankful. It means thanksgiving. Now that we have understanding of the table of the Lord, I want to go to the Apostle Paul, found in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul says in the 23rd verse, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, Eucharistis, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you and me. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Paul goes on to say, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Paul's telling us the Lord's coming again. The 27th verse says, wherefore, or because of this, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Okay, that's a mouthful that Paul said. This table is a place where we remember Jesus and what he did. Paul says, we eat and drink unworthily when we do not discern what Jesus has done. Now, you know, often misread or misquoted, the word in the 27th verse and the word in the 29th verse is unworthily, not unworthy. Unworthily is an adverb. And adverbs modify verbs. Unworthy is an adjective, and they modify nouns. We're talking here about the manner of partaking. Now, I said earlier, prepare the elements. This morning, I happen to have a cup of water, not wine. I happen to have a piece of broken crouton. It's not the symbols represented by the cup and the bread. It is what the symbols represent. These elements are a foci, wherein we look through them to the substance. And the substance is Jesus Christ. And we do this in remembrance of him. In the New Testament times, this activity, that is, the table of the Lord, was done in the home. You didn't need a priest. You didn't need some mystical words being pronounced over these elements to change them from one substance to another. It is. They were. But symbols, when Jesus took that supper with his disciples, I tell you that his flesh was on his body and his blood was still in his veins. We do this activity, that is, the table of the Lord, in remembrance of him. And let me further add, this activity is an act of faith. That's a misunderstood word. In the Greek, the word is pisteos, commonly translated by the King James Bible and many others. The word is believe. Well, that doesn't quite match the test. The word is pisteos, and the definition of that word in the Greek is an act or action based upon a belief which is sustained by confidence, the ABC of faith. It is. Now, you can't live, we can't live without faith. You're driving down the street and you're approaching an intersection and you have a green light and you see the green and you go through because you have faith that the drivers who encounter the red light are going to stop. That's faith. But it's not the faith of the New Testament. The faith of the New Testament is an action or acting on the promises of God. Now, I've said that. Let's go to some discerning. In the 53rd chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, it opens, King James translation, "Who has believed our report?" The Hebrew word translated believed is a derivative of the word amen. And how many of you know that this word amen is the most transliterated word in the world? Every language has the word amen. It's not a different word. It's the word amen. The Bible describes God as a faithful God. The term is an amen God. This word, amen, is a state of mind, and I know many who will hear this message say, "Oh, I know the word amen. It is so be it." Yeah, close, but not quite there. The best definition that I have ever heard of the word amen is no doubt. When God, in the beginning, said, "Light be," he had had no doubt that light would be. God has no doubt that what he says will be. That what he says is. God is an amener. It says of Jesus Christ in the 22nd verse of the 3rd chapter of the book of Romans, even a righteousness of God which is by the faith, translation King James, by the faith of Jesus Christ, if we had a Semitic language, Syriac, Aramaic, Arabic, Hebrew, we would see the word used there is by the amen of Jesus Christ. And now, having this orientation at the beginning of the report of Jesus Christ, who has amened our report, I want to go to that description that 700 years before he was born, Isaiah tells us of Jesus Christ. Third verse says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Well, in the remembrance here at the table of the Lord, we do esteem and we do remember Jesus. Fourth verse says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I got to tell you, King James is very weak on the translation here. It says, surely he has borne. The word is to bear, to lift, to take, to carry away. And this word being translated grief, the word is holy. 29 times this word is used in the Old Testament. 28 times it's translated sickness, disease, infirmity. And he carried our sorrows. He carried away sorrows. The word is machab, and it means pain. He not only took upon himself and bore our sicknesses, diseases, and infirmities, he carried away the pains thereof. That's an astounding statement, folks. It's an astounding God who has called us to know him. And when we know him, we can trust him. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the word in the Greek is musar, and it means that which was required to restore something that was lost. What was lost? Next word, the chastisement of our peace. The word is shalom, and it means wholeness. It means well-being. the chastisement of our well-being, our wholeness, was upon him, Jesus. And with his stripes, we were healed. I don't want you to just take my word for it. The New Testament, in Matthew chapter 8, and here's a little Bible history lesson for you. When the New Testament writers are quoting Old Testament passages, they're not quoting the Hebrew. 200 years before Christ in Alexandria, Egypt, 70 Hebrew scholars translated the Hebrew scriptures into Greek. They took it out of a picture and an ambiguous language that the Hebrew is and put it into perhaps the most specific language known to man, into the Greek. 200 years before Christ. And by the time Christ came, the Greek, that is the Septuagint, was the scripture of authority. Not only the New Testament writers, but Jesus Christ himself, when he quotes the Old Testament, he's quoting from the Septuagint. And in Matthew chapter 8, it says in the 16th verse, "And when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took, bare, lifted, took away, took, carried away, he took upon himself our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." Sixth verse of Isaiah 53 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." This is the best definition of sin I've ever come across. Gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And even that being the situation, God's love for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "And the Lord laid on him," that is Jesus, "the iniquities of us all." Not only of us all, but all our iniquities, the sins of the past, the sins of today, the sins of tomorrow. And until we are removed from this fleshly body of sin, they'll continue. But Isaiah, God through Isaiah declares, "The Lord laid on Jesus all of our iniquities." Another astounding statement. Folks, I'm giving you the Word of God this morning. I'm not giving you some ceremony, some liturgical activity. I'm giving you the Word of God. Those ceremonies, those liturgical activities, those things taught in so many churches, they're doctrines of men. They make void the Word of God. We do our best to teach the Word of God, and it is effective. So when we come to this table, like Jesus, we lift the bread and we do it in remembrance of him. He said, "This is my body, which is given for you." What's the benefit? Because it says, "With his stripes you were healed." Isaiah says, "You are healed." Peter, looking back at the event in the second chapter of 1 Peter, says, "With his stripes ye were healed." God said it. Our confidence continues in the belief, the assent of the mind, that he means what he says, and therefore we act, we take this bread. I hope you, along with me, will lift this bread and say to God, "Thank you, Lord, for by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed." Amen. No doubt. Take it in Jesus. It is a sure cure, a perfect cure for the coronavirus or whatever else, whatever other malady you or I may have in our body. Some may say, after partaking at this table, "Well, Don, I still have a fever. Well, Don, I still have cancer. Well, Don, I have this or I have that, and I haven't been healed." Well, Paul says, as oft as ye drink, as oft as ye eat. That means keep coming. Remember what I said. Faith is an act based upon belief, sustained. It's a continual act. We read in the New Testament about some were healed instantly, others on the way. God has eternal purposes for his chosen ones. And whether here or in eternity, if you die of coronavirus and you are discerning at this table of the Lord when you partake of the bread and the wine, you're going to wake up perfectly healed in eternity with God. Now we have this cup also. It represents the blood. That's what Jesus said. And the Old Testament says in Leviticus that the life of the soul is in the blood. Therefore, the blood represents the life. The life we are looking at through this cup is the perfect life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave himself for our sins. Hallelujah. When you see what Jesus, what God has done for you, you'll lift this cup not only with thanksgiving, but with joy, and thank God for His grace as you look to and remember Jesus and what He has done for us. Take the cup and say, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Take it in Jesus. Amen. And that's the God School for today.